Hey everybody, welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 161. It's a show where we just talk about Linux. Linux in the workplace, Linux in the home place, Linux on your phone, Linux on your eyes. That's Google Glass. Just Linux everywhere. I'm Martin Obando, a.k.a. what is it, Rambo Obando this week? I don't know. It changes.
Yeah.
It's always there. But with me, we got Dor here. So how's it going, Dor?
Very good, sir. I'm happy to say I've filled my Northwestern quota for the week. Thank you for finding the time to come out to do this show.
Oh yes, of course. I would love it. I love it. It's been busy, so we kind of missed some Geeksters, and we've just been busy all around. And so I get to podcast tonight, and I feel like I'm way out of my element.
Well, I'll say busy is always good, but from what I've been hearing on Voxer, you've been crazy busy.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you haven't heard much from me. That's the thing, is I'm not on there very much. I finally jumped on social media today for the first time in weeks, and I know when I have messages and it's like, you know, hey, 150 people have started following you. I'm like, oh, it's been too long.
That's a lot.
It hasn't been that bad. It's been like 20. But still, I'm a type A person. And so it gets to the point where if I don't keep up on social media, I will spend so much time going back just to seeing what I missed, which by the time I do all that, I realize I didn't really miss much. But I have a hard time getting behind.
I'll say I understand, but at the same token, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. No, things are going really well. Softball's over. We had our tournament this weekend, and work's been good. Can't complain. Weather's been nice. Things are going good. Happy 4th of July coming up here to you, Dor.
Thank you, sir.
You got all the 4th of July stuff going on over there. We get like, you know, kind of a parade. But you're like where it happens. Like the gusto.
All I care about is the barbecue and the cookouts. After that, it's just work. I don't mind going to people's parties per se, but what I don't like is the place I work. We have off on Friday, which you would think is a good thing, but it's actually a really bad thing because that means I have to do 5 days worth of work in 4 days. So every time I have a short week, it's a little bit of a blitzkrieg to get things done.
That's true. But in my experience, I have found that Fridays off are less stressful than Mondays off. Coming in on a Tuesday on a short week, you're already 3 days behind. You have 15 meetings you should have attended already, or at least on a Friday, you go, you know, and coming up on a holiday, I guarantee you Thursday, 10 a.m., you want to do this? Nah, I just stopped caring about 2 hours ago. I'm already on vacation.
We can just wait till Monday to do that, right?
Can't this wait till Monday? But it's a fire. It'll go out eventually.
Exactly.
I've worked in education and with the government, and it's like, yeah, it's Thursday.
Yep. What I hope is that most people don't realize we have off until 4:30 on Thursday, but I know that's not going to happen.
Well, they do know you'll have off, and then next thing you know is at 4:30 in the afternoon on Thursday. Could you get this report to me Monday morning?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be great.
And if there's ever a day to take off, it's the day after a holiday. I'm just saying.
Yes, that's true.
I have a couple announcements. The first official Podnuts business is I'm begging people do not forget Think Penguin Coupons. Yes, Cody Cooper, I said it correct. Think Penguin Coupons. Vote with your dollars. Vote free software. Vote someone trying to have as open hardware as possible. I cannot encourage people enough. ThinkPenguin.com. And if you listen to, I want to say it was the latest, no, one of the more recent Linux Action shows, they had someone doing roving reporting down in Southeast Linux Fest, and the guy interviewed Chris, who is the owner of Think Penguin. I encourage people, listen to that show, listen to that interview, hear the man's voice himself. I'll say, I've never heard in recent time the head of another hardware company offering Linux solutions, the owner himself, speak on it, except for Think Penguin. So he's the man who answers all the questions, and he's the guy who is responsible for the bottom line. I like hearing stuff from the quote-unquote horse's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was looking for that the video, or at least the audio, for that Linux Action Show. The only one I can see is their Linux Action Show 300.
It wasn't the latest one. It was the one before that.
All right, let me go back. Oh, there it is. Yes, it's Linux Action Show LAS number 318.
Gotcha.
And it looks very like cool. That's the one that they were at the Southeast Linux Fest.
Yep, and I'll just encourage people, if you go and listen to that link and you listen to that segment, let Chris know that you're thankful they interviewed him. And I say drop a line to Chris from Think Penguin and just thank him for his effort, because he really is putting his soul on the line with this company.
Oh, yeah.
Second official business thing to mention is beta testing something new. If you listen to Android App Addicts, a daily Android show, we interview developers, bring apps, yada, yada, yada. I'm beta testing a new means. I am millimeters away from dropping Google On Air Hangouts altogether, just getting away from them. The audio quality is horrible. You have to have a Google account in order to use it. It's not a fun solution. It's easy, but it's not a fun solution and not a free solution. Or more free solution. What I'm going to probably try to use is Jitsi, and that is meet.jit.si, to do the conversation handling. But I'm also right now broadcasting live audio. I understand some people like to watch video of Podnut shows, but who are we kidding? It's kind of pointless. All you see is our talking heads. I'm using a service called Insta Radio. And if you go to instarad.io/door-to-door-geek, hopefully in the future it will be /podnuts, you can actually listen to the show live. I'm going to connect that with Twitter Podnuts, to where when you get a message, you can literally click the link, listen to the live audio as it's being broadcast. And that will be my backup recording of the show. At least that's what I'm thinking about doing. Mobile on-air hangouts is a bit heavy. It's not very reliable is the word I keep getting. So if I can offer a audio-only solution, that should make people, at least on the go, much happier. Third announcement is the Podnuts forums, I think of, used to be a great area to go to learn, to share, to ask questions, and to help people. For about the last year, they've been absurdly quiet with very little activity. I'm just as guilty. I'll just say that, out front. I'm just as guilty as everyone else, but so is everyone else. I'm going to suggest, if people want forum type activity, go over to TechNibble. They have a hustling and bustling forum atmosphere. I personally feel this is the beginning of the end of forums. They're not going to become more popular ever again. They're only going to lose popularity as time goes on. I don't want to go to Google Plus. I do not want to go to Facebook. I do not want to go to Twitter. What we're looking at going to is Reddit, because it's threaded conversations. You can vote up or vote down comments. So unlike forums, someone asks a question, you might have to go 30 to 40 postings until you find the quote-unquote right answer. Reddit allows people to vote up the right answer. So hypothetically, when someone asks a question, the right answer should be by the top. So yeah. It should be less eye movement to find out what you're looking for. But it also has a unbelievably huge community that we can lean on as other people who can come in and join in the conversation. I will say we're still going to have the same basic rules that we had for the forums, which is act like an adult, try to keep all comments to a PG-13 type atmosphere. This is a place where friends come together to share links, share stories, ask questions, and help each other. This is not a place where we go and post not safe for work type content all day.
Well, the other
unlike
nice thing,
the rest of it, like Reddit.
Yeah, the other nice thing about Reddit is it's very mobile friendly. So this is one of the issues that I've had, and I've talked to you about this. When we have these forums, is you have to use, especially with PHP BBS or something like that, you have to use a third party app, and I can't remember the name of the app for both the iPhone and the Android. You know what I'm...
Something?
Yes, Tap-A-Talk.
Tap-A-Talk.
So you have to use Tap-A-Talk, and then if something breaks in the background, Tap-A-Talk has to get reloaded or reconfigured because PHP BBS has done some stuff, whereas Reddit is just made for mobile. That's one of the issues that I've had with the forums and my availability. Unless I'm sitting in front of a computer or my laptop, I can't get on the forums because I have to configure Tap-A-Talk on my phone. If I'm on the train or, you know, whatever like that, doing some business and I can quickly jump in, I can't because something's changed, the background's done something, you know, coding in the background has gone wonky. I can't do that. So with Reddit, we're able to go ahead and you know, you just use the regular Reddit app right on your phone and there you go. So I think it's going to be easier for mobile people and to keep up to date with what's going on in the forums.
Yes, and I will say the opposite, at least to me, issue exists, and that is the Reddit desktop site is a little bit hard to manage. So what I will suggest, and it's going to be by the top of the Reddit for Podnuts, is a full desktop browser add-on called Reddit Enhancement Suite. I guarantee you, if you have any problems, any issues, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't look right, if you don't think Reddit acts right, or if it's just too hard to understand, I guarantee you, you install Reddit Enhancement Suite, go through a little bit of the options, and I guarantee you, you have a much, much, much better experience. I want to go through the options and put what I suggest, what options to turn on, what settings to change, because after I installed this plugin to my desktop browser, I now actually understand the flow of Reddit much, much better.
And it looks like Reddit Enhancement Suite, it looks like you can Google RES, is good for all the major players, except IE. Yeah. Okay, Chrome, Firefox, Opera, and Safari.
Surprise, surprise.
I know. I saw the blue and I thought it was IE, but it's Opera. I mean, Safari. You know, the other one. The other blue one.
The other blue one, right. The other lockdown offered by a company, big company blue one. Yeah, so everyone has to admit to themselves, the only constant is change. To try to fight change and to try to stop change is quite honestly pointless. All we can do as podcasters is try to embrace change and try to control change. Do it at our pace. Do it when we're ready. I think the forums are ready to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty. I used to spend quite a bit of time in there and just work and life and time and just got away from me and wasn't able to spend as much time in there. But I do know that when I can check Reddit just as easily on my phone and have been.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you this, if you don't use this desktop plugin, I guarantee if you load the plugin and within 5 seconds, you're going to realize, oh, this is even better on the desktop now. Because yes, on mobile, I was shocked at how good the mobile apps were. It made everything. I looked at it on my mobile and I thought I never want to look at it on the desktop ever again.
Got it. So you need to register for a Reddit account and everything, correct?
Yeah.
To be able to post and.
Yeah. To interact with stuff, yes. To just browse, no. You can just go in and just look around. When the Reddit is completely fashioned and formed and done, then the Podnuts forums will be frozen, and I will announce where the Reddit is at. If you have any desire, you can go find it now. I'll just say it isn't hard. It isn't hidden. Okay, first link of the night. I don't want to say it this way because it's really bad. It's kind of pointless, but it's really cool. Okay. I've been using RetroPie on my Raspberry Pi now for a little while.
You've mentioned it a couple times.
Just a couple times. It's sucked down a fair amount of time. Not a crazy amount of time, but a little bit of time. But someone actually went and took Star Fox. Star Fox is a Super Nintendo game. That was the first game to use this Super FX chip in Super Nintendo. And someone took that and converted it to a full bare metal ARM port. So it's basically a standalone thing that runs on the ARM processor itself, not via emulation. So hypothetically, you should see much better speed, response, and gameplay. I will say, just like anything else, nothing is perfect. This is really new. This is not something that they've been working on for years and years and years and years. So it's very in the very early stages. Here's the real reason I'm excited about this. It is very, very, very possible that when this comes to completion, we are going to see custom screens, custom maps, custom games using basically the Star Fox engine.
Well, man, I didn't see that link until I saw it, and then I just clicked on it. And as soon as I saw the first screen there, it reminded me so much. I graduated in 94, so we spent a fair amount of time around the Super Nintendo and the games, and it just brings back warm, fuzzy memories to me. I loved the Star Fox. And it says that it was written by first-year undergraduates, which are basically first-year college students going into college right out of high school. They did this. Kids, yeah. Mm-hmm. Get off my yard, those kids.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah, this is really awesome. This is the kind of thing I would love to see happen with Raspberry Pi. I always try to emphasize to people, shoot for the niche in every shape, way, and form when it comes to Linux. Whether you're a user, you should shoot for your niche distribution after you feel a little bit comfortable in Linux. Which, and when I say that, I mean go for the distro that best matches your goals with the least amount of work you have to do when you're done installing. Same thing as a developer. Shoot the niche. Work on something that will get people's eyeballs and enable you to learn something. This is going to get a lot of people's eyeballs, okay? If I can just go buy a $8 SD card, load this onto it, and now I have my basic dedicated Star Fox cart, like a cartridge, like a game cartridge, but it's an SD card. And whenever I want to just load it up, I just bang, there you go. It should work. And it should work good, so it's, you know, fun. So this is the kind of project I like seeing jumping off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is, it's pretty cool. I don't want to watch the video yet, but...
Well, it's not the actual game Star Fox, but it's basically a I don't even say it's port, because it's not the same screen as Star Fox, but you can tell it's Star Fox. It's the same ship, it's the same surroundings, it's the same settings, it's the same graphics. So it's cool.
That's very cool.
Okay, the next two links, sorry, are both from a website I don't believe I ever heard of before, called Xmoodle. And somebody out there might correct me and tell me, no, you've actually mentioned this site 20 times, and every time you mention it, you say, I've never heard of this site before. So anything could happen. It's a very heavy, from all the articles I found out, hard-edged Linux is the best way I can think about it. This is not the site that will tell you what's the best-looking themes for your desktop to get the prettiest curved edges. This is a site that tells you how to do some pretty in-depth, hardcore things. One of the links here, the first one, is how to check your internet speed from the command line on Linux. Okay, super quick. This harkens back to one of my pain points, which is on my desktop browser or on my Android device, I don't like the idea of running a flash-based or heavy speed tester, because part of me believes the speed test results are actually being skewed because of the heaviness of the tester itself. So on a desktop browser, I like, it's called something like HTML5 speed test. I like that one a lot.
Hey, Adore, we lost your audio there.
Sorry.
There you go. You're back.
On my desktop browser, I like it. It is actually called speedof.me. Mm-hmm. SPEDOV.ME. It's all HTML5 speed test, and it does a good hammering on your bandwidth, which, so I believe, it gives me a more accurate test because it's not using flash or some heavy tool. Here's how to take it down another level, to do it actually on the command line. And part of me wants to say, you can actually run this from an Android command line as well. I thought I did it already because it's just a Python script, but I'm not sure. I can't remember. But this is a really cool, nifty way, I'll say, to do a speed test. And you can even do it over SSH connections to a different computer just to see what you get. Like, for instance, if you have a DigitalOcean server or a Armored Shark server, drop this Python on your server, run it, and let's see how fast of a bandwidth you have. I think you'll be pleasantly shocked at your speeds.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of crazy.
I have I have noticed that when I was doing some speed testings, getting ready to move some stuff over for a school that I was working at, I did notice that speed of me was still slower on a Windows box than it was on a Linux box. So to get almost, it's almost, I found that any, no matter what I did, if I put in my Linux box, I was getting much faster results than on my Windows box. So I think some of the overhead also comes from your OS.
Right.
So just a note that if you, I mean, if you really want to get almost a true speed, very lightweight, like this speed, this Python script on a very low Linux distro, and, you know, kind of take it all the way down to bare if you can.
Yeah, true. I love that idea, just taking it down as far as you possibly can. Now, here's a second one. I guarantee if you're on a super old computer, and if you are trying to watch, let's say, full screen video, and you load up your full Linux desktop, and you load your full screen video, and it's a little bit choppy, or it doesn't look completely right, I guarantee you, if you log out of the desktop interface altogether, and you do this, I guarantee you, you'll see better results. This article at the same site, Xmodal, is how to watch live streaming video from the command line on Linux. And again, it's using a Python to create the interface. You can even watch YouTube videos from the command line. I just got to say, I personally think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that is cool. I'll have to try that out and see. Maybe everybody just do your the pod nuts that way.
Guarantee you, you'll get better results than trying to access it from your full desktop. So this is another cool thing. I just love the idea of being able to have no desktop GUI loaded whatsoever, but still do desktop type tasks in a fairly easy fashion. I just think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you can use MPlayer, which is the popular one.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you just want to create an easy media center on a very old machine, I mean, it's not going to be a great easy media center, but you can stream some videos. Maybe you can connect it to your NAS and just go that way. I don't know how it would work. I'll have to give it a shot and see how it would stream things off my NAS or whatnot.
As long as it's a map drive, either Samba or WebDAV, I'm going to say technically it should work.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to, if I wanted to really take it down, I could do the ASCII Star Wars, and there I've just kind of watched the Star Wars without having to really do anything.
you laugh, sir. I've sat through it.
Well, here's my problem with that. You can't pause it. If you start and go away and stop it,
I think you're right.
It just starts over again. So I've seen the opening like 300 times.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, I will say that's a whole lot of fun. Now, I've mentioned OwnCloud a whole lot in the past. I'm literally a proponent of it. I don't use it as much as I should, nor do I use it for what it's fully capable of. But I can tell you from everything I knew, OwnCloud was done, quote-unquote, right. It was done, dare I say, with respect of the users in mind, is the impression I always got. It was always software that was in the beginning stages of learning how to be really good and growing. But I wasn't really sure. Then I found this Linux.com article where they basically interview the founder of OwnCloud, and he's still the main maintainer of the code, so he's not only the president, he's a member. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. His name is Frank.
Karlitschek?
Thank you, sir. I owe you a beer. Karlitschek. And it isn't a long interview. It isn't like they go into his past and, you know, when you were a child, what was your trauma memory? You know, they don't do any of that. They just talk to him frankly about OwnCloud. Yes, I said frankly.
I just got that. Sorry, it took me a moment.
It took me a moment to get it, so there you go. Dare I say, this is a guy that understands respect, community, how to get people involved, and to be honest, how to make something to scratch his own itch, but to serve a greater need. I am almost afraid to try to guess where OwnCloud's going to be in a year, 2 years, 5 years kind of thing. I personally only think it's only going to get better. It's only going to get more solid. It's only going to support my local network better and an enterprise better, both. I seriously think that they're going to scale at that type. So I encourage people, if you weren't sure about OwnCloud or where it came from or why it came about, Linux.com, why I built OwnCloud and made it open source.
Yeah, I have just started messing with OwnCloud because I have to come up with something for my business. Because right now I'm just using Google Docs, but I need to come up with something as far as when I hire employees. You know, how can I share that out? What was that going to look like? So something a little more not Googly.
Right.
And I've been looking at OpenCloud a little bit and have it installed a little bit and playing with it. So.
Well, and to me, you're doing it right, Martin. I highly encourage people start really light and small with OwnCloud because you can very easily and quickly get in too deep because it has multi-user support. You can do files. You can do streaming of audio. You can do calendaring. You can do users. Take it a little bit at a time because it, to be quite honest, is a lot to take in, a lot to get used to, and a lot to learn. And they have plugins, so that's a lot.
Yeah, I do feel a little over my head with it, but if I just step back and take it little by little and, you know, throw it on a $5 DigitalOcean box, you know, so you have external access, you don't have to worry about, you know, stuff internally if you don't want to do that. You know, $5 a month to learn to tweak with, and you create an image, or, you know, and then if you break it, you just reload the image and you're good to go.
That's the best thing about DigitalOcean, Armored Shark. Mm-hmm. Anyone offering those kinds of services, is it's very easy to just wipe your hands and start over.
Yeah. I think the hardest part I had with DigitalOcean was trying to find an installer file. And you had finally, after quite a while, you had led me to their installer script, which I had seen but just glanced over it. And I think once the installer was up and running, then it was good to go. But I think that's really where my frustration, for lack of better terms, was when trying to deploy an OwnCloud. It was actually getting it going. Once it was going, then it was point and click, and you really can't. They make it really user friendly.
Yeah, I will say, if you go to owncloud.org or whatever, click download. They have a web setup, they call it. And it's a PHP file called setup_owncloud.php. You literally take that one file, put it on the web server, whether it's your local web server, public web server, VPS or whatever, and then you just access that one page in a browser, and it literally does a dependency check of all the needed software to get OwnCloud up and running, and then it leads you through a setup process, which is faster most of the time than downloading everything, then uploading everything, and then running the install.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely love the idea of the dynamic on-the-fly setup. And OwnCloud, WordPress does it, Drupal does it, OwnCloud does it. I think the best of the best of the breeds have a tendency to do that, to make that an option. So that's a really cool option. And I think it is fairly new.
Yeah, I would like to see OwnCloud integrated into something like Fantastico, where it's that one click installer. That would be really nice, because I mean they do that already with WordPress, and it asks you for, you know, your SQL password and stuff, and you just do it. And so I don't know, maybe I should reach out to them and see if they can throw that into something like Fantastico and make it a one click installer for people who do any kind of hosting.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Okay, now this next one, I believe it was John Miller that shot me this link. I've used wget many times in the past. Okay. I will say I've used it here recently more trying to build my Linux VM for Android Phone Gap core Dova development. So I've used wget a lot more than normal. And it's fine. You know what I mean? It's fine. It's okay. It works. But John Miller pointed me to this other piece of software called Axel, AXEL. Okay. Axel is like download them all for Firefox, mm-hmm. where with this one application, it will attempt to create multiple connections via the command line and download all the separate parts at the same time.
And I actually use Axel and AppFast, kind of they're combined together on my systems. And then I create a bash alias, and so then I just hit, you know, ins-whatever, or space, and then it kicks in that.
I love AppFast.
Yeah. Now, the current, the URL for that, so if they haven't fixed it in the show notes, that site is down. It actually says DB error on it. So currently you can't go to the website.
For Axel?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, it was up 40 minutes ago when I went there. So it should be back up soon, I will say that.
Maybe we brought it down.
Sure, yeah. I'll agree with that. We brought it down.
It's the, what is it, the twit effect?
Yes, we did the
Podnuts effect.
Slash dotted, it's now, quote unquote, right. The Podnuts effect.
We took it down.
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned AppFast, Axel. Anything that can at least give you as the end user the perception of everything going faster, I'm all in favor for. So when John Miller showed me this, if he was next to me, I would have shook his hand and bought him a cheesesteak sub for lunch. Yeah, good stuff indeed. Okay, we're getting here by the bottom. This I wanted to share with people. Just hopefully we don't pod nuts their server and they go down too.
That'd be...
that'd be really bad. This is just another alternative choice for learning, okay? We talked plenty of times about Linux A Academy. They were a paid sponsor. It's still a really good service, period. Don't get me wrong. Really good service. This one I found, and I will say I like... What I like about this place is at least they're apparent to be transparent, to a degree at least. It is a paid service, but they do give you a intro video to where you can learn who is the trainer of this video series, what he has done, what he believes in, and what he's going to teach. I think that's a great touch. That's the first thing that they do right. The second thing they do right is they literally show you and give you 30-second previews of all of their videos, and it looks like they have at least 40-plus videos, and this is all about managing a Linux server. They do have a couple paid options for this. If I remember correctly, they had a monthly fan where you could get 10 books or videos per month for $19, or you could get unlimited access for $50 to the entire domain's learning stuff. This Linux admin is literally only one little teeny sliver of content on this service. The service is called Safari Books Online. Thankfully, they have nothing to do with the browser, but instead it's more towards learning, and they take people who write good books and they basically get them to do a video series on the things that they know. So if you're up in the air about what video learning tools to use, this is another option for you. Yeah, and they call it live lessons.
But they're not really live.
I know. They're live to you.
That's right. They should be called cash lessons.
Cash lessons. Yes. Exactly. I'll go for that. Yeah, and I'll say this guy, I'll admit he's wearing a lumberjack shirt.
He's from the Pacific Northwest.
And that's what I'm guessing. He's from the Pacific Northwest. He wears a lumberjack shirt. He wears glasses. And he has a beard. So with those three things, that's like the triforce of, I don't know, something.
It's a trifecta of Portland, of the Pacific Northwest. He's probably on a unicycle. You just can't see it.
Exactly. With bagpipes by his feet.
That's right. And beer.
This guy, I'll just put it this way, seems really smart. And when I say really smart, I mean, I would be asking this guy questions all day because there's no doubt in my mind he knows more than me. And I'm not trying to push myself up at all. I'm actually trying to push myself down. That guy, professional, me, hack. So, you know, I say learn from the professionals whenever possible.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another. This is a fluffy, pointless link. But at the same time, when I saw this, I thought, if you ever heard of Tenacious D, I feel sorry for you. But two, don't play it around kids.
Right.
But one of his things is about inspiration, or as he says, inspirato. I like seeing what my Linux desktop could look like. Mm-hmm. You can go to DeviantArt, you can go to GNOME-Look, you can go to KDE-Look, and all these other sites. But to be honest, there's a lot to look at. Here is a link on Softpedia, 10 desktop screenshots that show Linux is the most beautiful operating system. This, to me, is a very concise list of, dare I say, beauty and a lot of style. Most of the other listings I see or showcasings I see of desktops, they're beautiful, but they're maybe not completely functional. These look like they're both very, very stylish and very functional. More than a few take advantage of Conky, which, of course, if anyone knows anything, Conky can be one of the most pleasant things to look at on your desktop, but also one of the most informative things you could ever look at on your desktop. And there's a Doctor Who one in here. I was going to say that one. There's a Doctor Who one in there. For all the Whoites or Whoinators or whatever
Hooligans. Hooligans.
Really?
I don't know. That works for me.
That sounded good. I mean,
I'm not a hooligan, so I don't.
I don't know. I don't want to make any of them mad because there's a lot of them out there.
Yes, there are.
Period. Yeah. Honestly, I honestly do just encourage people, check out this link, hit page down a couple times, look at these desktops. I guarantee you there's going to be one of them that you look at and say, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are really cool.
Yeah, and hopefully get you thinking about how you can dress up your desktop. Me, I have all my desktops are the same black background, no panels, running cover. I'm done.
You're not a hooligan?
Let's not go there.
Okay. Speaking of Conky, though, I have used the same Conky script for years because it just works. It's functional. It shows me what I want to know. I like it. I just keep moving it from server, from desktop to desktop and computer to computer, and it's the same thing. It tells me what I need to know. I get in, I tweak it every now and then, possibly, but it's very rare that I have to do anything with it, and it works. So if you're not using Conky, definitely check it out.
Yeah, that's one of the things I don't think people realize a lot, okay? Conky suffers from almost none of the issues of other desktop software, and what I mean by that is it doesn't matter what version of the kernel you're on, it doesn't matter what distribution you're on, for the most part. It doesn't matter what desktop environment you're in, for the most part. All that matters is, did you install Conky? And then when you install Conky, you can basically copy your configuration over from desktop to desktop, from distro to distro, from kernel to kernel, and it will 99% of the time just work. That's a beautiful thing, because sometimes it does take a little bit of a time investment to get it set up right. But there's a payoff because you don't have to tweak it really after that.
Right.
Very cool. This next site, I ain't gonna lie, I've had no time to look at whatsoever. Zero time to look at. But I'm 99.9999% sure I learned about this website from GNU World Order from Klaatu maybe one or two episodes ago. First, I really hope Klaatu is enjoying his Vegemite and the other Amite that he learned that was the UK version down in New Zealand. I'm literally jealous. If I had, I don't know, a lot of money come in all of a sudden, one of the first places I would take a trip to is New Zealand to shake his hand again, because if I don't go down there, I don't think I'm going to see him again anytime soon. But this site is called Linux Identity. Maybe this is a site that is popular in New Zealand? I don't know. But I know it's going to be on my radar for now on kind of thing. I want to keep looking at it. I want to see what kind of stuff there's on there. I will say there's a lot of books available for purchase.
It's an aggregate for Linux-based magazines.
Okay.
So
I read, but I'll still...
Well, I know. But I'm saying, so if you are ever wanting to know which Linux magazines to use out there, or what to get, or which ones are out there, go here. It has all of them.
Very cool. And they do have some free articles, it looks like. They have access to some free articles, which is always good.
This is really cool.
Firewall setup. Well, anything Klaatu mentions is going to be cool. You just got to figure out how it's cool.
Right.
Yeah. So this is going to be in my browser.
It looks like the
foreseeable future.
It does look like the free articles are just a little old, but, that's okay. Well,
devil's advocate, if they're linking to magazines, there's no such thing as up to date. You're always at least a month behind. So that's okay. And to be honest, I'm a firm believer in running one version behind on my stable rigs just so I know it's going to be stable, and playing with the newer distros on my other boxes. So I'm okay with older content, even when it's about Fedora.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's Fedora.
Even though it's Fedora.
Even though it's Fedora. Yeah. And that's basically all I have for this week. I will say, once we're done doing the show, Martin, I'm going to publish the last show that I didn't realize I didn't publish.
Well, no, that's okay, because you're always one step behind on your stable versions, so it's okay. You're
yes, exactly.
See, it's a security reason. You're giving them just a taste, and you're selling the sizzle, as Tim Baumeister says. You're not selling the steak; you're selling the sizzle.
Exactly.
Come back, listen to 161, or come to 161, and then we'll give you 160. It's just, you know.
Yeah. God bless Tim.
Oh. Well, I had to reload my system, and I gave you my woes of reloading my system this last couple days, and man, I got it all back up and running now, but it just gave me grief. I went from, I think I had loaded originally Ubuntu 12.1, 12.04, one, and then just went through everything. It ended up at 12.04.04, and then needed to reload it, put 12.04.04 right on. I noticed a new kernel right off the bat, and it almost felt like a three-legged stool, kind of felt like a four-cylinder car running only on three. Like, there was just something wrong with it. Ended up wiping it out, reloading it again, all the way back to the original version of 12, and then it came back up, and it's running much more stable. So something was wrong in that, and I'm not sure what exactly it was, but that's been my couple days of getting all that. And in the process, I did lose some data, but that was my own fault.
Well, you know, that's why everyone always says to do a full backup. But I will say, I don't want people to take light what you just said. At least 80% of the time when I load a distribution and something's not right, something's weird, it was either a bad install or a bad download or something that just made one thing not work right. So I reload. And to be quite honest, I have no problem sitting there and nonstop reloading until I feel like I have a perfectly clean install. And for all I know, it's a hard drive error on my part. For all I know, it's a USB drive error or a CD-ROM error or something. But I know a fair amount of the time, sometimes 20 to like 33% of the time or so, when I load a Linux distro, something is quirky. So I just reinstall.
Yeah. It's back up and running. And the data that I lost wasn't backed up data, because I do use CrashPlan. So all that's there. What I lost was, I use a program called InSync, and it syncs my Google Docs with a local cache copy on my desktop. And so what happened was, in my great wisdom, I thought I will help the caching along by actually putting my copy into back where it was, and then wanting InSync just to use that as its copy. Well, InSync wants to download a brand new version, so then I'm getting duplicates. So I deleted the duplicates, but they're linked. And so it would end up going away where my forms and stuff, that my automated stuff that I set up for
that just
Google Docs.
Scary. What you just said scared me. Whenever I hear, oh, so then it decided to create duplicates, and then I started deleting stuff. I get a little nervous.
Well, because I had backups. I have, you know, a hard drive full of my backups, but the problem was it was linked. And it's not only that, but I went and I was like, oh, my mileage log is gone. Like, you know, Oh, my time card is gone. And it's... Oh.
So your bread and butter is missing.
Exactly. Oh, what's today? Today's the end of the month. Yeah. So I have it backed up.
Hello, Murphy.
Oh my gosh. So I learned a lesson. But I have everything hard copied, so I'm gonna have to just spend some time just manually putting it in. That's what I'm gonna be doing tonight.
Well, I'll just say this: if you just need instant synchronization, not for your InSync application, because that InSync is a paid service, which I will say sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I just suggest people out there, if you just need a one-time sync, Google-CL, you can basically run one command, download all of your drive documents, spreadsheets, files, It is in no shape, way, or form something I would suggest people use for business syncing back and forth of documents. But it is a one-time tool. But if my logic is, if you're using a tool like InSync, you only use that tool. You never even attempt to use anything else, or else you will create a hornet's nest, to reference Tenacious D again.
Right. Yeah, no, it works great. So I can open up my admin documentation for a certain site, edit it locally, and then InSync syncs it up. That's great. But when it comes to things like Google Forms, anytime you create a form in Google and you use that to export all the and take all the data you put in the form and it parses it out to a spreadsheet, it's linked. And if you put a, you know, it's like a skateboard with a rock. As soon as you put that rock on the road and a skateboard hits it, it stops. I've learned that with Google Forms, that it works really well. It's nice and it's simple, but if there's a hiccup somewhere along the way, it unlinks it, and there's no way to go back in and look at the coding to try to link unique identifiers back. It's just gone.
Gotcha. Wow. That's scary.
Yeah. So, lesson learned. I have all my data. I didn't lose anything. It's just I got to create new forms now, and you know, that's all right. It's the beginning we're halfway through the year, so it's a good time to create new forms. I think.
Yes. Halfway done a fiscal year.
Yeah. Halfway done to the fiscal year. Yeah.
The fiscal calendar year.
Right.
Right. Very cool. And I want to remind people of one other thing. Jonathan Nadeau, one of the more humble guys I think I've met in my life, one of the more helpful guys I've met in my life. Anytime I've asked him for help with anything, he has literally broke his back to help me. He doesn't tell me to go someplace else. He doesn't tell me he's busy. He literally seems to have the ability to juggle, I believe now it's 5 kids, a wife, and all of his friends miraculously well. I want to encourage people, never forget to drop by Frostbite Media and check out things that he is up to, and theacf.co. I want to say on Frostbite Media, in the next few weeks, he's going to launch a new endeavor. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. Just check out Frostbite Media. Keep going to... Okay, maybe it's not Frostbite Media.
No, I thought that was... It's Frostbite Media. It's B-I-T-E, not B-Y-T-E, and it's .org.
It looks down.
It does look down.
I will say I know he got harassed and threatened, coincidentally enough, by a company called Internet Freedom. But it was internetfreedom.pa for Panama or something. And they would not stop calling him, sending him threatening letters, saying that they were going to sue him for everything he had, because somehow it looked like, what I'm going to guess is, one of his sites got infected and it was posting a link to copyrighted material, not actually hosting copyrighted material. So he just started to let domains go and say bye. So I think that's what happened. I will say, don't forget to always check the notes for Linux for the Rest of Us. When his new endeavor comes live, I will definitely put a link to it in the notes. I expect it here in the next couple weeks.
That's cool.
Yeah. With that, Martin, I will say I'm out.
You're out?
Tapping out.
I'm tapping out. All right. Yeah. Well, if people want to send us a voicemail or an email, voicemail, 707-6-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688. Emails, podcast at linuxfortherestofus.com. And don't forget, summer's coming up. Maybe you're in need of a new water wings. Maybe you need a new pool. Like, what is those? The things that goes around your waist that looks like a duck, you know, to jump in there?
Floaty.
The floaties. Maybe you need a new floaty. Podnuts.com/Amazon. It's probably there. Why not? Get new water wings for you and your kids. And your pets. Cats like to go swimming. I hear that. It's a rumor, but I hear it.
I think they do. They just don't want you to know.
That's right. Get them a floaty. Put your cat on the river. Let it go.
Yep. I love you.
It's like a ride. It's like Disneyland for cats.
Yeah. I just had nothing to do with it.
Sorry. I just kept going with what my brain was telling me to go, and I see that's gotten me in trouble. So any cat lovers out there, I'm really sorry. Or do it to a dog too. Now I've at least I've equally offended somebody. All right, guys and gals and cat lovers, dog lovers, thanks for coming out and listening to us. We hope you'll join us next time. Bye, guys.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.